Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
You're an expat. You've come back to America with your two tween boys. What's the first thing you do?
Let's party.
In an RV.
In an RV. All right, the RV part. Well, my husband and I were both travelers, and I'm a bit of a travel addict. It's a problem.
A problem that Wendy Grossman turned into a life-changing year-long adventure, which she chronicles in her new book titled Behind the Wheel, A Mother's Journal of a Year on the Road. This is the true story about my family's life as we moved from our spacious house in London to a 29-foot RV traveling 28,000 miles across North America. What was I thinking?
Well, the first one is we wanted to pull our sheltered kids out of their bubble of privilege and have them confront real problems so that as they grow up, they'll be creative problem solvers. The second goal, we want to use this time to reimagine and redefine ourselves as a family and our relationship with one another and finally get to the bottom of that age-old question, is our family a democracy or a benevolent dictatorship? The third goal is we can't predict when an opportunity for a fabulous conversation will happen with our kids, but we want to be there when it arises. And with this year of open timelines and time on our hands, the odds will be in our favor.
Okay, so you're in an RV, you travel for a year. Where did you go?
Well, we started in Bonneville, Vermont, and we went through 38 different states and provinces over the next 7 months. But during that 7 months, it was incredible. We started up to the northern provinces, up to the old Niagara Falls. And then what we were doing was we were following our kids' passions. In order to really involve them, we wanted to make sure that they were involved from the get-go. My older son, Joshua, is crazy about polar bears. My younger son, Simon, is crazy about volcanoes. So we put those transparencies over the map of the United States, and we figured out what we could do. So we ended up as far north as Churchill, Manitoba, which is where you can see polar bears in the wild. And so we did everything from Craters of the Moon to certainly Yellowstone.
Volcanoes, right?
Yeah. And then we ended up and here's the truth. We parked the RV in Phoenix, Arizona, and we flew to Hawaii. We were there for 2.5 weeks.
I was wondering if Yellowstone passed for volcanoes
because it's
so geologically active there.
Exactly. Well, there's a lot of volcano tubes there and volcano lava tubes that we could climb through there.
You know, let me ask you, you did this trip in 2009.
Yes.
Right? So we're in the middle of the Great Recession.
Absolutely. And that's actually one of the reasons that we did it. In this recession, hopefully, sit out the worst of it in the RV. And why not take this opportunity to, look at what else is happening? I mean, there we were in London. I was, deciding to go on this RV trip. And I was reading about the new Jack cities that were popping up and people living in their garden sheds in Sacramento. And I'm like, that needs to be on the RV trip as well. And there was a lot of conversation with our kids about poverty in America and different things that the kids hadn't seen before.
Well, I imagine that, this met your first goal in ways that, maybe you didn't foresee, because in a way, there's no better way to pull kids out of their bubble of privilege than to show them what the impact of a recession is across an entire country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what we also did was we took our sixth grader as part of we were homeschooling, and we had our sixth grader be the chief financial officer of the trip. And he kept us to our $110 a day. And all of a sudden, he understood what it meant when we had to fill up our 45-gallon gas tank, and we didn't have any money for that day, and borrowing out of the next day's funds. Or, looks like we're eating ramen tonight in order to stay back on budget.
Oh, I'm hearing educators say this is experiential learning at
its
finest. You mentioned your elder son, Josh, a couple of times. He was 12 when you started this trip?
He was, where are we now? Yeah, he had just turned 12.
So a really dynamic time for a young man being 12 and 13. And I wonder if you could just recount one particular story about that when you were on that train trip you were talking about up in Manitoba.
Yes, it was an 18-hour train ride up to Churchill, Manitoba. And this is the part where, going back to one of those goals is you want your kids to be creative problem solvers, but you want to be in charge of the problems that they have as a parent. But when you're on the road, you don't get to choose. It just kind of happens. And we were in the cheap seats going up on the train ride up there, and we were sharing the train with some inebriated gentlemen, if you will. And And it's around 2 o'clock in the morning. And these guys came through the car, waking everybody up, yelling about, you know, 2012, 2012, we're all going to die, we're all going to die. And this guy put his big stinky hairy face in Joshua's face as he was lying there asleep and just started yelling about 2012. And Joshua looked up at him and said, "Oh, yeah, the Mayan prophecy. I don't believe it." And he rolled over and went back to sleep.
So it sounds like you had a lot of fun. I mean, it sounds like a wonderful trip. But I wonder, were there any moments where things got really tough and you thought to yourself, you're pulling over to the side of the road thinking, we need to go home now?
Oh, that, yes. Oh, my God. That's like when we had to stop the trip early because it was getting ugly. My kids are wonderful, but we're all driving each other nuts. And, you know, my 12-year-old was fast becoming, you know, he went from being 2 inches shorter than I was to 3 inches taller than I was in the course of the 7 months in the RV. And between his hormonal rages and my menopausal rages, it was kind of ugly. So, yes, there were times when Joshua was screaming at me, you know, we're 6,000 miles away from all my friends. And we live in an RV. I'm like, yeah, you're right, baby. And, you know, it was crazy. But wonderful. And that was the great thing was, is that nobody could go anywhere. And we had to talk through it all. But in the words of my prophetic 7-year-old, you know, Mom, in the RV, the highs are high and the lows are low.
Such wisdom pours forth
absolutely
from the mouth of babes. So I've got to sneak in a question which might be a little bit of a buzzkill. So I apologize in advance. But I can't help it because I'm thinking that there's some listeners out there who are hearing this and loving what your mm-hmm. story is and hearing mm-hmm. what you have to say. But they're also thinking, I am never going to get a 6-month severance package that allows me to get in an RV and have this kind of like life-changing trip with my family.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, lucky you, first of all. And second of all, like how could I do something like this for my kids?
Absolutely. We were lucky. But it's also about being aware and being awake and thinking about how you could do it. And what it comes down to is your stuff. And not being afraid to get rid of your stuff and get rid of your house. And I mean, yeah, it's crazy, I know. But and also thinking about who your communities are and who your support networks are. If you really wanted to do this, you could do this. I've traveled around my whole life before I got married was, you know, making enough money to then go on my next big adventure. And you live close to the bone. I mean, I'm blown away that this is my life. When I was 30, I had a tent, you know? So you can get back to simplicity. You really can. But it's all about people's personal values. It's all about taking control and direction from yourself. And if you really want to make something like this happen, of course you can make it happen. But it's got to be something that you really want to do.
Well, Wendy Swart Grossman, author of Behind the Wheel, A Mother's Journal of a Year on the Road, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a riot, man. It's great.
By the way, after those 28,000 miles, Grossman finally pulled up and settled down in Brookline. And yes, she sold the RV. Find out more about her book, including an upcoming reading in Concord, at our website, radioboston.org.